This is a CBC podcast.
Hey there, it's Nicola, and this is Good Question PEI. I'm out here in Park Corner on the beach, the one at the end of the Cousin Shore Road. It's about 8 p.m. It's a nice warm April evening. It's sprinkling a few drops of rain on me, but off in the distance, you can see it's absolutely pouring. So the sky is taking on this yellow and purple and gray tint as the sun is setting. It's gotten a little darker in the last few minutes, so I clicked on my headlamp. It's not a time of day, you might think, to hit the beach. But for fishers and anglers across Prince Edward Island, tonight is a big night. And that's because it's the first day of the season that you can fish for striped bass. Now, I've been coming to the beach here since I was a kid, so I remember the first time that I came down at sunset, probably 10 years ago, and noticed groups of people arriving at this time, which struck me as a little odd because it was the end of the beach day. They pulled up in their trucks and they unloaded stools and chairs and fishing rods, and they made their way to the water's edge where they set up along the shoreline every few meters or so and started fishing in the dark.
We'll just sit there and shoot the breeze, and it's pretty relaxing, quiet even, you know. And usually my brother and my dad and I, sometimes my buddy Mike, you can watch the sunset, and then you see the stars, and sometimes you'll see a satellite go by or something. It's kind of a relaxing thing anyway. And then if you get a bite, of course, it goes from being pretty relaxed to, pretty intense all at once.
And that's exactly what Wayne Murphy from Kensington reached out about. Wayne also comes out here to Cousin Shore to fish bass. Now, he's not here tonight, but we laugh when we piece together that we've probably passed each other in this very spot. What's the biggest one you've caught?
I would guess maybe 12 pounds or something like that. Last summer was pretty good. I would say maybe we went, let's say, 6 or 7 times, and we caught fish 4 or 5 times, something like that.
Wayne loves to fish. He goes to Newfoundland every year in pursuit of salmon. That's more finesse fishing. You do need to know what you're doing, and you need a license. But you don't need one for striped bass. And that's what Wayne says is so cool about it.
Find a chair, find a beach, and get a little bit of bait. If you didn't fish and you just said, I think I'll take up fishing, I think if you started with striped bass, that'd be a good way to go.
So, Wayne, what is the question you're hoping we can answer on the podcast this week?
It's kind of a Seinfeld question. It's like, what's the deal with striped bass? They haven't always been here. Just wondering, you know, where they came from, how many are there, if there's any positive or negative ecological effects of them. You hear stories, of course. I think people have really caught bass upwards of 25 or 30 pounds. I'm wondering what, you know, in your research, if you come across any documented case of someone catching a giant bass.
And I didn't need to look far. As I was writing this episode, my colleague Nancy Russell, who sits across from me, comes in the door. She was out reporting on the start of the angling season at the river in Majelle. And she says, I just watched this guy reel in a huge striped bass. And she got it all on tape.
Oh my land, that thing is big.
That's a big fish. That's one of the...
What you're hearing is that fisher trying to reel in the bass with a crowd of onlookers. And then they go to pull it out of the water.
Oh my land alive.
Awesome. Congratulations, man.
Wow.
Okay, let's get some
beast.
The measuring tape comes out.
That's making you nervous, but...
Yeah, get him in the water.
Holy
what is this?
97 centimeters, 38 inches.
97 centimeters.
Can you wear this?
Oh, my land.
Go grab him by the tail there. Hold him up. We'll get your picture.
Tell him, get a photo. And you're a celebrity now.
My name is Stephen Trousdale. I'm from Summerside, PEI, originally Tyne Valley area. Been fishing trout for years, but that's my first striper, and it's a monster.
Tell me about bringing it in.
I needed lots of advice, so I thank Duke and the others around here that were advising me on what to do. And Oh, it's just absolutely awesome. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The Lord is so good. My wife's grandfather, he used to tell me, when you catch a salmon, if you catch a big salmon, he said, you will drive many a mile to be able to do that again. And that experience right there, yeah, same thing.
Stephen has to release his catch because it's over the limit. He lowers it into the water, and it swims back down the river. You can catch up to 4 striped bass a day, but they have to be between 50 and 65 centimeters. And those rules are set by the Federal Department of Fisheries and Oceans to ensure the population isn't overfished. The story of the striped bass is actually fascinating. Wayne asked me when they arrived here on the island, and the answer is they've actually been here for millions of years. They're a native species, but many don't know that because of what happened in the 90s. In 1995, there were as many as 75,000 fish in the Miramichi River estuary in New Brunswick, where all the striped bass from our region returned to spawn. The next year, that number dropped to 5,000. And no one knows exactly why. But Cindy Bro, a research scientist with DFO in New Brunswick, says there are some theories.
Because the spawners are all located at one location, which is in the Miramichi estuary, and there were commercial fisheries, recreational fisheries at the time, it's possible that they were vulnerable and in combination perhaps with some environmental conditions. So if the conditions weren't great during that spring, maybe it led to recruitment failure in addition to the removals from the fisheries. So it could have been a combination of factors at play here that could have led to those declines. But one thing's for sure, prior to 1996, there were commercial fisheries that occurred in the estuary for a number, many years.
You know, when you see a huge drop-off like that in one year, even if we can't pinpoint the exact cause, what ripple effects does that have kind of through the ecosystem and for the population itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for a population like the striped bass that only has one known spawning location, which is in the Miramichi estuary, that was a great concern, most likely, because if there were many years of bad environmental conditions, it could have had an important impact on the rebuilding of the population. So a quick reaction at that time was good to ensure the population would rebound.
Those commercial fisheries did not last, though. By 2000, all the fisheries have closed, and nobody, not even the indigenous community, is allowed to fish striped bass. Scientists continued to survey the population in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, and Sydney calls this a success story for what good management can do, because the population does bounce back. In 2012, the food, social, and ceremonial fishery reopens for the Indigenous community, and the recreational fishery reopens the next year.
To see that species rebound and be present in our areas is great, and people are really gaining interest in understanding the species and fishing the species as well.
So to recap, striped bass is a popular recreational fishery for people on PEI. But it's only been back for a short period of time. A huge and sudden drop in the population shut down all fishing for more than 10 years. And DFO is still counting the fish when they return to spawn in Miramichi. The last numbers we have are from 2022, where they put the population at about 471,000 fish. That's a huge increase, considering it dropped below 5,000 not 3 decades ago. But DFO says it's tough to create a benchmark of what a healthy population should be, since it only started surveying the population in 1994, 2 years before that sudden drop.
We have to think that striped bass have been part of the Southern Gulf ecosystem for millennia, and striped bass have been interacting with other species in the ecosystem. Prior to the low abundance years of the 1990s, striped bass were abundant enough to maintain a commercial fishery. Striped bass is an opportunistic predator, and it will eat various prey based on prey availability and also prey size, so they do eat other fish.
I've heard some anglers complain that there are actually too many striped bass now, and that they're eating the other fish they're trying to catch. But Cindy says, we have to let nature do its thing.
People have to realize that it's a native species. We're lucky that it's rebuilding. And I mean, like in the States, there are many populations of striped bass that have gone to low levels and they are struggling to rebuild their populations. So we're lucky in the region that they have reached higher numbers. Striped bass can also have positive effect on the ecosystem.
Last year's research found striped bass eggs and larvae in the stomachs of other species that overwinter in the Miramichi River estuary. So the striped bass are actually feeding other fish, like salmon, rainbow smelt, and American eel. We are also starting to get more granular with our tracking of the fish. 3 years ago, the Mi'kmaq Confederacy and DFO tagged 21 striped bass on PEI. Seven of those fish were then detected in the Miramichi estuary that winter, and six of the seven returned to Miramichi the next year. What do we know about how climate change is or could impact the striped bass?
Mm-hmm. Striped bass is not a cold water fish, so if anything, the warmer temperatures could benefit the striped bass by, especially during the spawning season. What is critical for the eggs and larvae is that the temperature don't get too cold. If the water is warming slightly, then that could actually benefit the striped bass.
Is it possible that warming waters is somehow connected to the resurgence of the population?
It could be. It could be as well. So it could be a combination of management measures that were put in place in addition to warming waters, which could be favoring their rebuilding.
And anglers like Wayne are glad for that rebuilding.
You'd get hooked, so to speak.
And Wayne has actually experienced the strength of that population rebound firsthand.
My daughter, Lara, she's 19 now, she said, I want to go bass fishing, Dad. I said, sure. So usually when I go with my father and my brother, they can look after themselves and they can bait their own hooks. And we're all pretty independent, right? We've been longtime fishermen. But Lara, of course, needed to rebait. And she's like, oh, Dad, gross. I don't want to touch that fish. Can you put that on my on my hook and throw me out there again? I said, sure. And not thinking, I just set down my own rod. And so I was almost done putting the piece of mackerel back on her hook. And she goes, Dad, your rod. And I turned and I was just scooting across the beach and I saw it go into the water and it was gone. So obviously there was a big striper latched onto it and took off with it. And I ran into the water. It was gone. I said at the time, I said, this isn't really all that funny now, because it was about $230 to get hooked up again, you know, with the new set.
Yeah.
But I said, sometime this coming winter, you know, we'll be having a beer in the pub in Kensington and we'll have a good laugh about it. But anyways, it's funny now because it happened last summer.
Yeah. I hope you catch lots of striped bass and trout and whatever your heart's desiring in this angling season.
Yeah, I guess the big thing is to, you know, get out and get at it. So I'm looking forward to it. And thank you so much again for following up. Maybe I'll run into you on Cousin Shore one of these days.
As there's fishers out, and when I'm walking the beach, I'll be saying, Wayne, Wayne.
Yeah, that's it. You call out, we'll say hello then. Okay.
All right, cheers.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that's it for this week's episode of Good Question PEI. Don't forget to follow us in your podcast app of choice and send your questions to goodquestionpei@cbc.ca. We'll be back next week with another episode, and that one is going to be all about food. Island chef Hunter Gaindo will be a part of that episode. So I had the recent chance to ask him, do you have any recipes for striped bass?
Like any island fish, my favorite way is just super, super simply sear it. Little bit of island butter, baste it a tiny little bit, and then just serve it with like some sort of sauce or garnish with a bunch of fresh summery herbs in it. It's a beautiful, beautiful island fish.
Chef Hunter and I will be back in your feeds next Wednesday. For Good Question PEI, I'm Nicola McLeod. See ya. Bye, fishies.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.